Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We are teaching through the book of Galatians. The title of these messages is Paul's impassioned letter to the church today. Well, Don, he wrote that 2,000 years ago. Truth is the truth. No matter when or how it is revealed. Paul begins his message speaking of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. I don't know who out there is paying attention to the things going on in this world. They were evil in Paul's day. By comparison, some things more evil then, but as a whole, even more evil and subtle today. We're not going to go back and review the first two chapters. Except Paul gets to the gospel, which he says earlier, there is no other gospel, when he says in the 16th verse of chapter 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh, and let's correct the translation, be righteousified. I've talked about it before. Go back and listen if you don't know the reasons for the alternative. Paul says in the 20th verse, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not, translation, frustrate, we went through that last week, nullify, make void the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We go now to the third chapter. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. In my 26 translations, one translation has it this way: before whose eyes Jesus Christ was so graphically presented as crucified. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the presiding theme of this, which is called Christianity. I want to read on. This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? And in this 26 translations, they don't pull a lot of punches. They say, are you so senseless? One translation says, surely you can't be so idiotic. Can it be that you're that stupid? Pretty strong. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect, or are you now made complete in the flesh? I want to talk a little bit about flesh and about spirit. The message of the gospel is contained in three, let me rephrase that, in three of Paul's epistles. He quotes an Old Testament verse out of Habakkuk, wherein he says, the just shall live by faith. Better translated, the righteous shall live by faith. In the book of Romans, one could, with inflection, read it properly. Romans would say, the righteous by faith shall live. In the book of Hebrews, the subject is faith, differentiated in Romans, righteous. Now the emphasis is on the righteous by faith shall live. This book of Galatians, it would read, when we get to that 11th verse, the righteous shall live by faith. God, in the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, speaks of giving us a new heart, not one of stone. That's how he describes our fleshly heart, but one that can be touched. In Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, we read, and the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? The response, all flesh is grass, and all goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass, flesh, withereth. The flower, goodliness of the flesh, fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people, flesh, is grass. The grass withereth. The flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. That's Old Testament describing the flesh. New Testament, let's look to Jesus and what he said. In the 3rd chapter of the Gospel of John, in the 6th verse, he says that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, is spirit. Paul, in this impassioned letter to that church he founded in Galatia, had taught them well. But they somehow, through the influence of that church at Jerusalem, which we'll get to in this series, run by James, the so-called brother of the Lord, started trying to make flesh and spirit assimilate. Jesus, I think, you know, makes it very clear. Born of the flesh is flesh. Born of the Spirit is spirit. He didn't say, you know, if you're born of the Spirit, your flesh becomes spiritual. He said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And for 2,000 years, so much of the church has been trying to, if you will, coalesce the spirit and the flesh, to reconcile the spirit and the flesh. That's why this message is entitled For the Church Today. We need to understand born of the flesh is flesh, born of the Spirit is spirit. And praise God for the born again experience. That we, through faith in Jesus Christ and through the faith of Jesus Christ, we do have life, and that eternal. When Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly, he's talking about eternal life, not the 70 years that is promised to man, or whatever the length of the existence in the flesh. It's eternal life we're talking about. Received ye the Spirit? And Jesus, wonderful teaching in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm reminded of something. Give me just a moment. So, you know, Jesus is having a dialogue, if you will, in the sixth chapter with the religious people of his day. I'm going to read, you know, if it hits you, it hits you. 27th verse, it says, Jesus speaking, work not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. And they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Listen, this is the work of God, that ye might faith on him whom he, that is God, has sent. That is Jesus Christ. Trying to put flesh into proper godly perspective, which the world that knows not God, that's their only concern. But the church that is supposed to know God also just looks on the flesh. And they're either attempting to perfect the flesh or condemn us because of the flesh. And not emphasizing the work of God, that we might not only faith on, but have the faith of Jesus Christ, which causes us to receive the Spirit, and the Spirit is life. Jesus said in the 63rd verse of that sixth chapter, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or giveth life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. In the 14th chapter of that Gospel of John, that most wonderful gospel, or gospel record of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the 6th verse, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus now tells us that that life in the Spirit, or that life generated by the Spirit, is His life. That's why Paul says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So we're talking about life eternal here to properly get the entire context of Paul's message to this, Paul's impassioned message, reacting to a situation. We are going to understand more when we go to his reasoned and logical exegete of this Christian life by going to his letter to the Romans. I'm just going to read. I hope you hear, and that the Spirit quickeneth you. In the 8th chapter, it reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We're going to leave the rest of that verse out because it's not in the original. We're going immediately to the second verse. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law of works, I might add, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh couldn't ascend to it. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he became kin with us sinners, yet he knew no sin. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus did it. He took care of it. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk now. That second part of the first verse is properly translated in this fourth verse. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. How often are the preachings and teachings found in the church today minding the flesh? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that is, to be minding the flesh, is enmity with God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Speaking to Christians, to those children of God, to those whom God chose before the foundations of the world in Jesus Christ. But, ninth verse, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. What did Paul say? I'm crucified with Christ because of sin. But the excuse me. But the Spirit, life, because of righteousness, not of the flesh. The righteousness spoken of in the New Testament is that righteousness of God, which God imputes to us. Not only does he impute righteousness to us, he dwells in us, and we dwell in him. And this is the life, the Spirit. And we're going to end this quickly today in 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 3rd verse. We read this way: For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, that is, those of you who are walking by faith, those of you who are in the Spirit, those of you whom God has given eternal life, those of us whose eyes are on the promises of God and acting as such with our eye on eternity, epistle of Christ, the letter of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, that is, the new heart that God has promised, that heart that can be touched. And such trust or confidence, he's overwhelmingly convinced. Have we this heart, this new heart, this new life, this eternal life through Jesus Christ? Or as Paul puts it, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward, or toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Several weeks ago, as we were beginning, before we even titled this Galatian message, we saw another place where this word sufficiency or sufficient was used. When Paul was laboring in the flesh, when he was asking Jesus to remove this thorn that was in his flesh, the response was by Jesus Christ himself to this sent one of God. Paul was, my grace, my unmerited favor is sufficient for you. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. God, folks, I'm nothing. We preach Christ here. We live our convictions, but we preach Christ. But our sufficiency is of God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament. Listen, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, the tables of stone, the law of God, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Live on, and we'll speak to you next time. Live on by faith. And that is a gift of God. But for now, that's the God School for today.